Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Fellas.
Donnie.
Welcome back to the studio.
It's amazing.
Always a pleasure to have you.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
It always is.
Great to be here, big
fella. Yeah, awesome to be here.
Calling me big. Dean Tolan calling me big fella. That's amazing. Okay. Let's start off with some news, an update on a player.
Yeah, go ahead, Dino.
Yeah, well, Tess, one of our O-4s.
Pellin.
Tess Pellin. She took a ball off the tip of her glove yesterday, and she took it on the eye and right on the bridge of the eye. And so, obviously, it swelled up really bad, and she had to go to the hospital, and there was a lot of players concerned, obviously, about her well-being, and everybody wanted to make sure that she was okay. So... and she is. She had to go have a quick surgery last night in Calgary, and she is now on the mend this morning. And thumbs up, and she's wanting to get back at it and play already. So she's doing well, and we'll always, keep abreast of what's going on there.
Yeah, good to hear she's okay. That's a tough spot. Last practice of the year, too, to have something like that happen. It's too bad.
Yep.
Tough. Well, Tess?
Yeah.
Get better, bud?
Yeah. Yes.
We'll see you in the summer. Keep working hard.
She said it's not her pitching eye, so she's
happy
about that.
Oh, she keeps her eyes open when she pitches. Maybe that's my issue. Huh. I'm learning all kinds of new stuff, guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay, so how are you guys doing, though?
Good, buddy.
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
Weekend in Lloyd, last full weekend of practices. We've talked about that on a previous podcast.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm fine. It was good. Couple three practices to go, and it was obviously a downer what happened with Tess yesterday, but if you can remove that, I thought it was a very high tempo, great practice. Kids worked their butts off. Just the progress we're seeing because of, no games kind of sucks. We're not being able to travel. But I can't overstate that the development of these kids because of all the small group stuff that we've had to do. It's been awesome.
Yeah, you're right. I mentioned that as my closing remarks to every group we had in the cage was, it's unfortunate we didn't get to travel, but the plus side is the development has been through the roof. Everyone's gotten way more face-to-face time, way more individual training. Mm-hmm. And it's too bad we didn't get to take this group down and see what they could do on the field because they're a talented group of kids.
Yeah.
So, Dino, we reached into the Rolodex here for the next guest.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you guys have contacts all over. You're very well connected,
Well, I kind of bumped into Joey.
You wasn't supposed to say
your name. Oh, okay. Well,
you're fine.
I've done this before.
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
Okay, you do it, Donnie.
Well, no, but I wanted to give you the credit because it was because of you we got this. And this guest is amazing. Great to have her. But it's because of you, and I wanted to give you credit.
Well, one thing we should remember out of all the people on this cast, Joey and I are the only ones that really know each other. So I'm just throwing that out there, too. But yeah,
just right.
And again, right back to Tosh.
Yeah, there he is. There's Tosh.
6 degrees of Tosh right here. How can I wheel this back to Tosh?
Oh, it's easy, man.
But okay, so we're really lucky to have from Toronto, Ontario, by way of Pennsylvania now, Joey Lai. Welcome to the cast.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Already having a ton of fun.
Oh, good. We try to have fun here.
So Joey and I were on a coach's course last week. So that's kind of how it came up. But yes, then I had to kind of pass it off to Tosh because he knew Joey. So there we go.
Well, it works, buddy. Helping hand right there.
Adam, Eve, Tosh.
There it is.
Right? There's the beginning of time right there.
Yeah. You should write a book about that, Dino.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So Joey, how was Tosh or how was Dino in the course? Was he engaging? Was he? We find we find him to be pretty entertaining with us too. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think for a portion of it, I was spending more time on his DMs than the actual course. But I think I got enough out of the material.
There you go.
Always
you
working, go. Dino. Hey,
DM, that's direct message. Yeah, Johnny, just in case you're wondering.
Why are you looking at me? I'm the youngest guy in here. I know what a DM is. Good for you. Okay, Joey, so obviously we tipped your hand a bit, your coaching, but also let's start with your beginning in the game. Can you talk a little bit about how you got your start?
Absolutely. So small neighborhood in Scarborough, Ontario, and joined a house league program and played a couple years there and then joined my first rep team out of Ajax, Ontario. And there wasn't anything out of Scarborough at that time. A year later, I was actually ready to walk away from softball, and the late Fred Lewis who ended up being my assistant coach for a number of years, talked me into staying in the game, which was obviously, I'm very, very grateful for that. I think he might have had to do that a couple times, actually. But my parents and a couple of other softball parents sat down and formed a team called the Scarborough Spirit, ended up playing for that team for 7 years prior to going to college. And that was a team that worked harder than any other team, and we won a number of national championships. I think we were at the national championships all but 1 year that we were together, and just an amazing group of players that kind of set the standard of softball for me. So that's kind of where it all started.
Joey, can I go back? Did you say you had someone who tried to convince you to stay in the game?
Yes.
Yeah, because I've got people all around me saying, get out, get out, dude. Time is up. Yeah. You know,
that's a really cool point. So you said Fred was, you know, an influence on you. And what if he hadn't talked you back into it? Because you think about, you know, your career. I mean, obviously, personally, how amazing, you know, things went for you there. But as a coach, the impact that you've had on so many players as well, you know, it's kind of a wake up for us, right? Like, as coaches, that one word, that one day, that one whatever it is can have an impact on so much things in the future.
Every interaction matters, Dino.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. Deep.
You like that?
Deep.
You like that one?
Yeah. I had to write it down. I had to write it down so I could.
We should be practicing earlier in the morning because you would be better in the morning.
Prime Dino is 9 a.m. That's Dean. Yeah. Okay, so talk about how you got into.
You just got to answer the question.
I thought.
Well, it was kind of a statement.
It was more of a statement.
Where would you be?
Well, yeah, okay.
Where do you think you would be,
Joey? Where do you think you'd be?
Yeah, what would you do?
I think I probably would have found some other sport and tried to make it big in that sport, but who knows what would have happened. I definitely wouldn't be where I am today, having had the career I've had, coaching-wise, playing-wise. Who knows? Right. But I thank him all the time. I have actually a photo of him and I in my house, and just as a memory of the impact that he had on me and my career and my life. And it is, like you said, a constant reminder of how important it is as a coach, as a role model, to continue understanding the impact that you have on players.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can get into this later, obviously, but you did play another sport at a very high level, too. So you had lots of options, at least, you know. Mm-hmm. Unlike Donnie, I got one. I throw BP.
Like chess? Are you good at chess?
I actually am pretty good at chess.
I would like to play chess. I'd like to challenge you at chess.
Oh, let's do it.
Okay. Hey, whoa. This is how that thing started the other night.
Oh, yeah.
I think I have never taken an at-bat off you.
Well, let's go.
Now we play 3 innings in the cage at 2 a.m. Awesome. Awesome.
So I guess then go into your – because there's a funny little sidebar here. You're recruiting. How did you get into your college? What was the process like? And what form of
what media
did you use to get in?
I feel as though this is a very leading question.
Indeed it is.
So hockey is actually what got me on the radar of Williams College, where I ended up going. The hockey coach at the time saw me playing in a tournament. And from there, I mean, my check boxes for a college were be able to play hockey, be able to play softball, and get a good education. And so once I did some more research on Williams, I knew it was going to check hockey and good education. And the last piece was, would I be able to play softball there? So off my VHS went.
Yes.
In the mail to Coach Herman to basically just gain an understanding of if that third box would be checked for me.
Awesome.
That's a shout out to Dion Blackwell, to his instructor, who also was on this cast saying she used a VHS tape, and everyone who was listening thought, hey, what's a VHS tape?
Yeah, and one of our last guests, Jimmy Jones, was talking about how important hockey is to softball players. That's how he picked his team one time.
Yeah,
that's right. Is that what he said?
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
His recruitment would have been on a rock and a chisel, probably.
Yeah. Oh. Flintstone
VHS
style.
VHS would have been the new style.
I can say things about Jim now because he's not allowed to say anything back, but we'll get a text for sure. Okay, so talk about your time in Massachusetts. Let's go over that a little bit, and maybe your hockey playing career. I got some stats on that as well.
Oh, dear.
Everything's online, bud. Yeah. Everything's online.
Yeah. Everything is online. No more VHSs. So if I could go back in time, you know, I get the question all the time. Do you wish you played Division I softball? Do you wish you played Division I sports in general? And if I could go back in time to my high school years, I would make the same decision every single time. I would go to Williams. And The Division III experience allowed me to obviously play both sports at a challenging high level, to develop in both areas, to push myself as a leader, being a leader with both programs, as well as getting involved with different things on campus. I was a junior advisor, which is kind of like an RA, and got involved with the Student Athlete Advisory Committee, and just the whole package of being a Division III athlete was just something that I'm so grateful for. And I think it pushed me to be successful in life, to be able to juggle all those things and to be able to kind of experiment in so many different areas.
Well, not for nothing, Joey, but we'll get to this later in the cast, but you're holding a ton of school records still. So we've always kind of said whatever the best opportunity is for the athlete, because it turned out great for you. Look where you are now. Obviously, the division is irrelevant. It's the situation that's going to push you the hardest and get the most out of you. So great plug for your school for sure. Let's talk about your hockey stats. 100 games, 18 goals, 23 assists, and five of those goals were game winners.
Wow.
That's not a bad little hockey career.
How many pims?
That's a good ask.
How many pims?
They wouldn't put it on there.
Oh, really?
Were you a mucker? Did you yeah. rough it up a little?
Okay, so I always had issues when we went down to the States to play tournaments. I think the referees just have a very different upbringing. And when I went to college, I may have had a time or two that I spent in the penalty box. But, yeah, so I liked to use... You know, we're not allowed to check in women's hockey, yeah. but I definitely like to strategically use my body and, you know, angle and pin and all that fun stuff. So a lot of the American referees don't like that. So unfortunately, I did spend a little bit too much time in the penalty box.
I think we got that's a good line for the actual podcast one, Tosh, when you put that on there. Maybe Joey Lyon or Buggy Whip Left.
Yeah. The penalty box is where you sit for 2 minutes and you feel shame.
You feel shame. And it's probably not the pinning that was the problem. It was the follow through with the elbow to the chin as you left that pin that was probably the problem. I mean, I've seen you play softball, obviously, and you're aggressive and you're high tempo all the time. So I can only imagine what you were like on skates.
Put some skates on me.
Yeah.
Pinball.
Yeah. And as a former official, you know, did play, but as a former official, I often thought that the circulation of blood to the brain usually coincided with the tightening of the skates. So I'm just wondering, you know, maybe that had something to do with it.
Did you tie your skates too tight is what I think you say.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Maybe. I guess we'll never know.
So can you walk us through what a year would have looked like for you having to play two sports, which I the schedule has got to be fairly intense, whether it's training, whether it's diet, whether it's school. How do you balance all that through a whole year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, honestly, the toughest time of year for me was the fall, because I felt like I was trying to balance both programs and juggle everything and try to be everywhere for everyone. We had preseason training for hockey. We had fall. At that time, actually, there are no fall practices for spring sports in the NESCAC, which is the conference that Williams is in. Who knows if that will change after the pandemic, because I think this year they were able to do that for the first time. Just, you know, trying to organize and attend practices with my softball team and doing lots of dry land training for hockey and getting ready in the weight room and preparing for that November 1st date where hockey season would start. But once I managed to get through those couple months at the beginning of the year, it was pretty smooth sailing for me, just very focused on where my feet were. And obviously from November 1st through to the spring, it was with the hockey program and ensuring that I was at my absolute best for that team. And then as spring would approach, I would start getting together with Coach Herman once softball season started, once a week outside of practices. And I would not attend both practices in one day, but I would check in with her, get some reps in, and just make sure that I was kind of easing myself in as hockey season was getting towards the end to jump right in. She would actually force me to take a couple days off between seasons. And if it were up to me, I would have jumped right in, you know, on day one. But my coaches always looked out for me in that transition time and allowed me to kind of take a breath before diving in with such focus in softball season.
So in your opinion, did playing two high-level sports help you develop both skills, or was it you had to focus, you put one hat on in spring and one hat on in fall?
I think it helped me develop just in one aspect, being fresh for the next season and being excited for the next season. And I think that's something that a lot of youth athletes no longer get because they're pushed to specialize at such a young age. And I think for me, you know, people would always say, what's your favorite sport while I was growing up? And I'd be like, it's hockey season, it's hockey. And then, you know, softball would come around and I'd say, it's softball season right now. And so just that excitement to get back into the game and having that fresh mentality and willingness to just dive in headfirst and work really, really hard, I think that made up for the fact, maybe even tenfold for the fact that I wasn't training every single day for one thing.
Well, you worked out well, 4-year letter winner at your school for ice hockey and for ball. So clearly you did something right. Let's get into your ball stats a bit. You still have 5 all-time school records, and I'm sure you know them, but the numbers are astounding. So batting average 457, runs 150, hits 211, total bases 267, and stolen bases 62. Still all-time records. Pretty phenomenal. 3-time team MVP, 4-time all-NESAC first team, 4-time NFCA New England region first team. Like, that's... You must have a statue outside that school. Maybe I guess maybe 2 statues. Yeah. One in the rink and one at the diamond.
Oh, just one holding one hand holding the bat, one hand holding the stick.
You're like Bo Jackson. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, Joey knows.
My. Yeah. Joey knows. Joe knows. You should get a campaign going. This writes itself.
No, one of the things I really appreciate about Williams is how much it's about team first and, you know, school pride first and I would honestly hope that I would never have a statue on campus because it's all about the team and the culture and the group before the individual. And the thing that I've appreciated is just being able to connect with the current team. So having had opportunities to kind of reach out and have either team conversations or connect one-on-one with different Williams athletes and just continuing to be able to have that connection and give back to the teams that gave so much to me.
Another humble athlete.
Yeah, what a great answer. Right? Man, you must be prepped for this. This is great.
Yeah.
One more stat that's alarming. In 2009, you led the nation.
Nothing to say.
I did have something to say.
Another humble athlete, and he's just like, yep.
Well, no, I had something there. And
I might have to call Tosh a humble pie.
I'm just trying to dig him because, you know, humble Tosh is just not. I've never said that.
No, I just, it was like. I mean, the statue wouldn't be very big, so it's. I mean, it's not.
There it
it's
is.
Not like it's gonna be, you know, taking up a lot of room. Like,
Joey's statue. Even if it's life size. Yeah.
I just love how it shows us how you're thinking, Joey, and that's pretty cool. Like, I mean, athletes. I mean, we do try to. We have a lot of great, great talent with our kids, and that is a part of a message that's, you know, especially with the pitchers, because I deal a lot with the pitchers. You know, we want to try to be humble, right? Like, there's always going to be. You know, there's other people that can talk about you, right? I say that a lot to some of our young kids because sometimes they get that mixed message. They're like, man, I'm one of the best pitchers on this team. I'm one of the best pitchers in the province. I'm one of the best pitchers in Canada. And that can easily go to
the other way. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Look at Tosh.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nobody was there to help that young Tosh.
Who could guide him?
And now look where we are.
No one could tame Tosh.
I was never one of the top pitchers.
Oh,
in BP now, though, look at you.
Just wow.
Darts, bud.
Yeah, feel good BP. Thigh-high dippers. Thigh-high dippers.
Sorry, Johnny. I interrupted. So good.
Yeah. No. I wanted to put in, you put in a great word of the day yesterday. I want to say plethora you used. It was fantastic. I'm going to use juxtaposition today, which is also a great big word.
Yeah.
It means something in direct opposite. And humble and Tosh, juxtaposition.
It's just a position, Donnie.
Yeah, just a position.
I feel like I should be saying goodnight, Donnie, because you're taking your shots right now.
Not yet, no. And who had 1904 on the over-under on the cast? There it is. The last stat I wanted to read, because I thought it was a misprint. It had to be, but it isn't. In 2009, you led the nation with a .563 batting average, and that's generally what people in slow pitch put up. It doesn't matter.
No, I know, but it's probably like a ton.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like to have that average over... You know how many at bats they have.
That's absurd. Yeah, that's the, like I said, people in slow pitch leagues do that, and they're pumped about it too.
Yeah,
and you did that at a high level competition, so hats off. No statue. I get it. You're humble, but you should. It should be known.
Let us talk about you.
We'll talk about you. There's 3 of us here. We'll pump your tires all day.
That's right.
Well, thank you. Unfortunately, the only at bat I remember from that year is the career ending at bat where I popped out to the second baseman. So
that's
unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, the ball wouldn't have been dropped because second basemen are usually the best athletes on the field, right, Joey? So, yeah.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah. Just for the listeners, Joey, you play second base a little bit, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Tosh plays second base a little bit, yeah?
Yeah.
So there's that again.
Adam, Eve, Tosh. Yeah,
Tosh. Adam, Eve, Tosh.
Are you trying to say there's a bias?
Oh, there might be.
It's been said, yeah.
It's a fact. It's not bias. It's a fact.
It's a fact that it's been said, for sure. Let's just leave it at that. I want to start with, before we get into your Team Canada, because I saw the coolest thing online. Topps, which is a great producer. I collected Topps baseball cards as a kid. Got the gum. Fantastic. You have a softball card.
Which is
the coolest thing. I know I got one made up for me. It was on my birthday. Maybe my mom made it. Thought I was the best player ever. So cool, but not produced by a company. I think she made it. Mm-hmm. So
do you think we could take a picture of that and put that on?
Yeah.
Our Insta?
Yeah, probably should, yeah.
Yeah, you think we do.
That would be
amazing. We'll have to get a picture of that, yeah, for sure.
And if you have copies, I would love a signed copy. That would be a great memorabilia piece.
Ooh. To my buddy, Donnie. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Not as good as Tosh. That's all I wanted to say. Kind regards. So talk about that.
Might be able to make that happen.
That would be a fantastic. So can you talk about that process? What was it like? Because that's like every kid's dream is to be on a baseball card, right?
Or a cereal box.
Well, sure.
Yeah, one of the two.
I just like the prize in cereal boxes. Lucky Charms.
Fun fact, when I was coaching at Williams, one of our athletes on the hockey team, because I assistant coached both programs my first year out of school, one of our athletes had a best friend whose mom worked at General Mills, and so we actually have our team photo on a Wheaties box, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
You have the best life. You have the best cereal box and card.
I got to tell you, because it just came up yesterday. So my old coach Greener sent me a picture of what I said was the best team picture I've ever had. A bunch of guys walking out of the corn. So it kind of looked like the old, you know, the
Field of Dream.
Kevin Costner movie.
Field
yeah.
of Dream.
And, but that tops it. Cereal box totally beats.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
totally beats. Yeah.
Yep.
That's
crazy. We took a picture like that too, because I think we probably saw yours and like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to be like Dean? Yeah. And we all did the same thing.
No, now you're going to want to be like Joey.
Oh, I already do. Absolutely.
So, awesome. But playing with Athletes Unlimited, which is what led to the Topps card, is just it's a blessing in disguise of the pandemic that hit us. And, you know, obviously I would never wish the pandemic on the world ever. The time that it's granted, not just myself, but Team Canada as a whole, to continue to develop and have that extra preparation for the Olympics has been unbelievable. And the ability to play in Athletes Unlimited this past fall in their inaugural season, you know, I would have been retired by that point had the Olympics happened when they were scheduled. And so the fact that I was able to do that and be a part of that inaugural season and meet all of those amazing women and get the opportunity to be a part of that first ever, you know, women's Topps card collection is just, that's something that'll stick with me forever.
So we haven't actually talked about AU much, which is phenomenal. Can you talk about this? That's in Chicago. You guys are based, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk a bit about the games and how they went and what the process was like? We watched a bit of it on TV and phenomenal. Great to watch on TV. So what was it like to be there?
Awesome. I'm glad to hear it was fun to follow. Mm-hmm. We had so much fun. I've never had an experience like that. It was just, there were 57 athletes and from all over the show. And we were in a bubbled environment, obviously, to keep us as safe as possible. So we were only able to be at the hotel or at the facility. At the facility, we played in Rosemont, which is where the Chicago Bandits home is. To my knowledge, it's the only professional softball facility dedicated fully to softball. So there's a dome with an indoor field. They created a locker room for us in there, socially distanced locker room. There was an athletic training area. There was a recovery area. There was a weight room that they put together in that dome. And then walk across the parking lot, and there's the field. And so everything we needed was there. And it was the first time in my career I felt like a true professional athlete. Mm-hmm. Anything I needed at any time, there, you know, they had a company that was there literally just to make sure we had what we needed. People available for us 24/7 if, you know, if we realized we needed laundry money or You know, literally anything you can think of, they thought of it to this tiny detail. If we had a s'mores night with, you know, they bought fire pits specifically for that one night. Like, they went above and beyond for everything we could ever want to perform at our best and to bond with these individuals. They brought in the Wolfpack Endeavor, which is Abby Wambach's company. And so we spoke to her over video call, and then some of her employees were actually there in person and put us through workshops. And so it wasn't just come perform on the field. It was, we're going to push you to develop as human beings off the field as well. And I think every single person walked away from that experience having grown in some way. And I've seen so many of the athletes either start their own company, start, you know, get involved with something they'd always wanted to do and just never had the confidence to do it. And just, we've all grown in so many areas. And then thinking about just the experience on the field, the games were so exciting. I'm sure you've all been a part of a blowout game and, you know, you're just counting down the innings and hoping for it to end. And I can remember being a part of a game that was 18-3 and being in it until the last pitch was thrown, because there were individual points on the line. There were team points on the line, and it was just exciting from start to finish. And, you know, I've never kind of approached a softball game in that way. And it just gave, there were four Team Canada athletes there, and we all talked about how can we bring this to our team? How can we bring this excitement for every single pitch of the game? And so that's what we're working on now. And then the drafts were pretty exciting too, just every single week, not knowing who am I going to play with and, you know, what is that team going to look like? What's our team name going to be? What's our theme going to be? And what excitement are we going to have this week? And just getting to play with and grow with different people each week was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Okay, I got to say something here, Joey. And I don't know who those people were that just walked through the room, but it looks like they're stealing stuff from your house.
You're
right now.
You're being robbed, Joey. Turn around, Joey.
Look out.
Behind you. Look behind you.
That.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, there they are again. They need more stuff.
Yeah.
Look out. And he's got a mask on.
He's doing it nice. Nice of him. Hey, I'm going to steal your stuff, but I'm not going to give you this.
Maybe give us a wave next time or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think the format was awesome. And it was exciting because of the different points and stuff that were attributed to it was team but individual, and I thought that was pretty cool. It was a little confusing how to keep up a little bit on what the points meant and stuff, but I think once you figured that out, it was pretty cool. And of course, watch the four of you do your thing. It was really neat. And Softball Canada, I think, did a pretty good job of keeping everybody updated on how the four of you were doing. And so it was pretty cool.
How did they pick the team? Like, how did you get involved in that? Like, how could anybody get involved in that?
I'd like to answer that. I'm sure she just showed him the Wheaties box and said, hey, here's my resume right here. I'm in.
Well, I think that's...
And I have this tape if you need to look at that.
Here's
too.
A VHS tape if you'd like to have any more footage.
It's got
to
be a pretty select group.
Oh, I would think so.
How do you get involved in that? Who picks that?
Yeah, so there's actually a player executive committee, and that's another really cool thing about the league is that it's player run. And so Victoria Hayward, captain of Team Canada, she was the first athlete to sign on with Athletes Unlimited. And so she's chair of the player executive committee and one of those five athletes that, you know, sits down and meets. I think they still meet every week or every other week now to continue prepping, you know, for next season. And what they did was sit down and start to figure out, okay, who are the elite athletes we want to invite to play in this league? And initially, you know, I was planning, as I said, to be retired, and so I had not even inquired about it. And once the pandemic hit and everything was postponed, I reached out to see, can I be involved? How can I be involved? And initially, I was going to be a facilitator, so I would, you know, help the athletes at practice, you know, hitting ground balls and be around for whatever they needed. And I put my name in the ring as a backup athlete just in the reserve pool, and ended up, you know, about a week before the league was getting a call and saying, you know, we need you, will you play? And so that was pretty exciting, and everything kind of fell into place for me. And moving forward, the player executive committee has sat down and they have invited the top 10 finishers from this past season back, and they're going, I'm pretty sure, in groups of 10 and kind of figuring out those 10 contracts at a time and then moving on to the next group of 10. And they will be, my understanding is they'll be leaving some spaces for some college athletes who are graduating this spring and leaving a few spaces for open tryouts as well.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Does it, assuming we're praying everything goes off of the Olympics and I know your Team Canada schedule, I talked to Mark a week or so ago, and I mean, you guys are going to have a pretty tight schedule too, starting here right away. How does that affect your preparation or Team Canada's preparation for the Olympics?
With regard to Athletes Unlimited?
Yeah.
I think, well, for the four of us, it definitely enhanced our preparation during the off season. Just, mm-hmm. Prior to that, I was basically trying to train at home and figure out how to make the best of this. And so that allowed us to have those kind of game opportunities. And then I think, moving forward for any athletes that do get invited back, and for Victoria, obviously she will be back with AU, and just that excitement that there's even more, like it's not, mm-hmm. it's bigger than even just preparing for the Olympics. It's, sure. There's an exciting opportunity post-Olympics to continue shining and playing so that long-term health is more important, and taking that time, each day to make sure we're recovering properly. So I think there's a lot of, small areas where it would enhance our preparation for the Olympics as we continue to move forward.
Right on.
I want to go back for a second. You talked about the facility and the complex, and it was the first time you said you felt like a professional. I think everyone who's listening, or like I know the three of us in here, anytime we've gone to an ISC or a national championship, you sort of feel that way too. You're with the team, you have batting practice, then you go have a meal, and then you get ready for your game. Sometimes you're playing two a day, but that's all you do. You don't do anything else, and it's the greatest week or 10 days you have. You've been doing that for years. So that for you to have this to top that and s'mores, man, get out of here. We've never had. We should
what
have
more a, do you need?
Nothing. We should have a two s'mores night.
See, that's, it always comes back to food for you two clowns.
It does, yeah.
Always.
Well, that, you got to eat, bud. You
that can't. Organization is a recipe for a reality TV show.
Oh, for sure.
Oh.
There should have been a GoPro on there,
Joey?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That is. I'll guarantee you they've thought about it. I'm, there's no way I'm the first person to say it, but that's a reality TV
100%
show.
100% it is. Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about the games? Who was the toughest pitcher you faced? Do you have any memories specifically of a game that stood out in the first year?
Well, I think my final game stands out the most. We got crushed. The reason it stands out the most was just because, I mentioned an 18-3 game, and just the intensity that we continued to bring and the mentality that we maintained through the whole game, despite the fact that we were losing by so much, and just the fight that we had until the very last pitch of that game. The other team was just, we couldn't keep the ball in the park. It was a lot of excitement on their side of the field. But it just blows my mind how much intensity we continued to bring and how much we cared about every single pitch of that game. And obviously the outcome was not what we had hoped, but I think it just proves the key to our game is just playing one pitch at a time. And we talk about that so often. And I think through the experience of Athletes Unlimited and that game specifically, because the result was so out of hand, it hit that point home for me in a way that it never had previously. As a player and as a coach, I've always talked about one pitch at a time, one pitch at a time. But just to be able to feel that and understand that regardless of the score, what does that mentality feel like? So that game hands down is one that will impact me forever. And then pitching wise, I think I'd never faced so many high caliber pitchers one after the other. But my personal experience, I was coming off the bench a lot to pinch hit. And I want to say the toughest pinch hit opportunity that I had was against Haley Wagner, and just a lefty, she throws the backdoor curve. As well as the curve away, as well as the screw. So there's two different pitches that could be coming in hard on your hands that are moving in different directions, as well as one that's sweeping away from you. And that's just a tough act to defend there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to guess right sometimes. Yeah.
So I just want to, because, we're flowing here. This is awesome. I just want to maybe, and I don't know what Donnie's direction was, but
None. I have zero.
No direction?
No.
Okay. Let's start talking about the big dance here. And a little bit. What I would like to get, Joey, is a little bit of your experience with Team Canada, because I know that you are a woman of many positions, in that you are probably the ultimate utility player, and I know that probably puts a lot of emphasis on the fact that, you know, every team needs that type of player, because especially with limited rosters, you know, that sort of thing. So, I mean, everybody understands that. What's been your experience and some of the ups and definitely some of the downs throughout the whole Team Canada experience?
Well, before you go, Joey, I got some stats for you wearing the Leaf as well. So you have 663 at-bats, 226 hits, a .341 average, 146 runs, 23 stolen bases, 11 triples. You're all over the diamond. So to Tosh's point, just to set up the listener, that's a really good resume at the national level. So, yeah, to continue, Tosh, yeah, tell us about your time with Team Canada.
Well, thank you for that. And it's been so fun and such an amazing experience. There's been a core group of us that's been playing together for over a decade. And, you know, in any sport, in any situation, that's not very common, where you get to kind of grow with the same core group of people for over a decade. And, you know, lots of highs over the past 11, 12 years, and some lows too. I think first starting off in 2009, so I tried out for the team at an open tryout. It was Coach Smith's first year with the program, and there were a lot of retirements after the 08 Olympics, and so they held some open tryouts. My parents actually signed me up for the tryout prior to speaking with me, and I was just graduating from this tiny Division III school, and I thought they were crazy. I was hesitant, I was resistant, and thankfully they said, nope, you know, we've signed you up, we've sent in the payment, and you're going. We've bought your plane ticket out to British Columbia. So off I went a few weeks after graduating from college, and I was fortunate enough to be invited to the final camp, and which was on Vancouver Island. And at the end of that camp, I was one of the last athletes to be sent home. And that, to me, was such an eye-opening moment in my life. I just, you know, reflecting on the fact that in that two-week span of time, I went from thinking my parents were insane to being the most devastated I'd ever been in my life, and realizing how close I was. And so I had a conversation with the coaching staff prior to getting on the airplane home, and just tried to understand, you know, what were some areas I could work on, and went back to Williamstown where I was coaching and put my head down and worked, and came back the next year and made the roster. And so that was a huge down moment that turned into, you know, lighting a fire in my belly and turning around starting my post-college softball career. And, you know, the rest is history, just continuing to work my butt off and continuing to grow my role. And over the past 11, 12 years, it's been, you know, just, it's been pretty amazing to try out so many different positions, to gain comfort in so many different positions, and to understand the importance of being able to fill that role on a team. Like you said, Tosh, every team, especially of that small size, needs somebody you can bounce around from one place to the next. And just being able to be that person for my team and roll with the punches. And, you know, I think Williams taught me a lot of that with regard to flexibility and adaptability. And you know, I used to want to know kind of where to train, where am I going to be playing the most. And now at this point, it's, I'm going to be prepared for anything. I'm going to be prepared to do whatever this team needs me to do, whether it's be a pinch runner, or whether it's be a starting second baseman, starting outfielder, or, you know, jump around and fill in roles when people need a rest. It, at this point, whatever the team needs, I'm going to do to the best of my ability.
Great answer.
Very cool.
Oh. So what's your preparation been like with the pause? Obviously, we've had, like we talked about, we've had Mark on, we've had Kaylee on, we've had Jen on talking about it. What's it been like for you getting ready now again to do the same thing over for Tokyo?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that it was a blessing, not just for myself, but for the team. And I think specifically talking about myself, with the added time, having stepped away from my career, which I, you know, had you asked me about that 2 years ago, I would have never, ever thought I'd be in this position. But putting my athlete life first has just been a completely different approach and lifestyle for me. And it's been amazing. It's allowed me to schedule my life around training, you know, get the sleep I need and the meals and timing of meals that I need, and get the, just the, you know, get my priorities straight with regard to being the absolute best athlete that I can possibly be when we step on the field in Tokyo, you know, if I'm fortunate enough to be in that top 15. And I've had so many amazing opportunities come my way. I don't even know where to start. You know, with Athletes Unlimited, having had that time on the field and being pushed in so many ways with that, after having been at home and, you know, finding our friends that have a gym in their basement, being able to get my lifts in there, trying to figure out, you know, where to get my conditioning and sprints and all that stuff in. And then Athletes Unlimited, everything at my fingertips for 7 weeks long. And then coming home, you know, the day before I came home, I had my next training trip in place, which was to actually go back to Illinois. There is an Unreal training facility called S2 Breakthrough. And I met them right before I left town. They invited me to come train there. I spent most of November there, which was another amazing experience. Wake up, train, walk the dog, come home, sleep, eat, rest, wake up, train. It was just such an amazing experience that I ended up actually going back there. I just got back about a week ago from spending another 2.5 weeks there, and just being able to, you know, be a softball player is the greatest gift that this past year has given me. And my preparation is just through the roof. And, you know, I always say I didn't not prioritize my training when I was also a coach, but it's just such a different experience when it is your only priority in that moment. Aside from obviously relationships and life, but just being able to put that first has been so amazing for me.
That's awesome. I got to say this, or I'm going to get a rocket of a text after she listens to this. We had Holly on here too.
We did have
Holly. We don't mention Spearsy. She's going to send me a text and it's going to be, you ever had your head ripped off by a text? That's what it would be
Sure. Yeah.
So, Spearsy was the first one, actually.
That's right.
She was the first.
Trailblazer.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, we're covered.
We're good, yeah. Sorry, Spearsy. Okay, so Team Canada, you made it in 2010. Captain from 13 to 17. So you went from thinking I have no business being here to being the general of that group. That's a big get. And what I wanted to point out was one of the bigger things we want to help with our group is sometimes you got to face a little adversity. Not everything comes to you so easy, right? And sometimes that adversity is what makes you stronger. You can go one of two ways. You can either say, yeah, you know what? I guess it isn't for me. I'm going to go play badminton. Or you can do what you did and say, I'm going to dig in and get the feedback I need to make myself better and go and get it, which is a huge feather in your cap. That's why you probably got a card. That's probably why you're on a cereal box. And all I do is eat cereal. So big difference in us for sure. Do you want to talk about any of your experiences in your Pan Am Games or your World Championships with Team Canada?
Yes, yes. I realized I glossed over all those highs that we've had over the years, and definitely, you know, medaling at a few World Championships and then a few Pan Am Games as well. But the highlight being the 2015 Pan Am Games in Ajax, you know, in a lot of our backyards, having so many family, friends, former teammates, former coaches supporting us through that moment. And just a fun little story, you know, you mentioned Jenna was on here before. Jenna and I were roommates at the 2015 Pan Am Games. And the night before the final, we had been, you know, lights out for probably 20 minutes at that point. And I don't know what came over me in that moment, but I said, Jenna. And she said, yes. I said, we're going to win tomorrow. And she said, I know. And then we just fell asleep. And we just, everything was firing on the right cylinders that next morning. And, you know, there wasn't tension in the air. There was excitement. There was anticipation. And there was a calm sense of confidence from the second everybody opened their eyes. You know, we had breakfast together in the tent And from that moment, there was just some kind of synergy that came into place and was there through the end of that game, you know, when the last pitch was thrown. And that was such an amazing moment that I think for all of us is a moment we wish we could kind of live in, just that, mm-hmm. that feeling, that excitement, that just, yeah, there aren't even words to describe it, but that I would say that is the number one moment of memory for me.
So do you think, because I, you know, I've been involved in the program on obviously on the junior side, but have been privy to a lot of the stuff that goes on with the senior team, in that I've seen such a huge development of the program, not only in the way it's being run with the training aspects and what have you, but just the fact that Canada's always kind of been that second fiddle a little bit with the U.S., maybe a little bit with Japan. But I took that 2015 win as, you know what, we're here and it's time. And I think that was probably the first time on the big stage where Canada in a one-game showdown took it. And you guys now, you know, I might be off base, but I just think the confidence that you guys have playing them now, it's another game. It's another opportunity instead of, oh, geez, it's the U.S. You know, and it's a testament to Smitty and the staff, but also to the leadership group that Donnie said over those years, with yourself, you know, being in that group, that I think has taken it over the top. And I'm stoked about you guys at the Olympics, because I think there's a real opportunity for you guys to make a lot of noise there, and it's there. Like it's not a, geez, I hope we medal. It's we're going to win, you know, or we've got an opportunity to win. And so, it's more of a comment than a question, but I've seen that development over the past few years, and it's amazing to watch you guys, you know, get to see at the Canada Cup, obviously, but that's a tight group. Like, it's a very tight group. Do you want to maybe talk a little bit about how that, you know, you said synergy and it's that cohesiveness that has kind of come together. Would there be one or two moments, you think, outside of, say, a big win that maybe facilitated that?
I think most recently, we're gaining even more confidence and even more momentum and even more team synergy now. Looking back to that 2015 victory, the place the team was in doesn't even compare to where we are now, which makes me so extremely excited for this upcoming summer. And so, you know, with regard to leading up to 2015, we did so much work off of the field to make sure that we were on the same page, that we understood, you know, how to continue pushing each other. What does our team look like? What does our team want? And we kind of used those couple years leading up to then to develop a team identity and to then buy into that identity and start becoming the team that we wanted to be, that we talked about being. Whereas now I think we're more in a space of we live what we say. We don't talk about what we want to be, but we actually understand what that looks like. And, you know, 2015 was the beginning of that. We saw that kind of come together a little bit. And now, thinking back to the 2018 Worlds and the performance we were able to put together in the championship round was just another confidence builder for us. You know, we typically struggle with Australia in those big moments, yeah. And we put them in their place and just continued to have moments that showed how much our work was paying off on and off the field. And so I think now those specific moments would be, you know, the daily grind. We talk about that all the time and just the importance of every single day being invested in what we're doing. And if it's a physically off day, that's fine. There's still other things that we can do with regard to being prepared to play. But also the respect of each other and understanding how much people are doing, how much work people are putting in. And even though we are all over the place, that continues to help us gain momentum. And, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, would I say that every single athlete is is 100% committed and doing everything they can? Probably not. Whereas now we all know that we're pushing each other to the max. There are people who have relocated to invest, you know, in their training and in the team. And we're just at such a different space with regard to our team chemistry and the understanding of what we've put on the line to put this team first, that our confidence continues to grow. And, you know, the moments, like I mentioned in 2018, help us gain that confidence, seeing we can do that on the field and knowing that we are light years ahead of where we were when we won that gold medal. And also just understanding, you know, the daily work that we're putting in, and having a lot of hard conversations off the field. I would say that's something huge that's changed within our program, is the ability to have tough conversations away from the field that need to be had in order for our team to move forward in the best light.
That's I'm going to go back on some memory here, so you guys can correct me if I'm
wrong. So it'll be wrong.
Yeah. When we had Dion on, that's a, what do you, conundrum? No.
No.
When we had Dion on, that sounds so weird. Mm-hmm. Okay, but when we had Dion on the podcast, right, she was touching base on some of the mentality that they had at the time. And she did touch on, I believe, the benefits of what the young athletes have now with our national team program, that they don't, it's not a, let's go finish in the top five. Let's not go, they're going to win. And just, you know, you're backing up all that, Joey, with the fact that, like, let's say it, it's not cockiness, it's not arrogance, but the world has to beat you guys. And that's the mentality that you have truly as athletes now. And that's an amazing thing. And it's a big deal for our nation, right? Like, that we can think that way. You guys think that way. We can think that way. Somebody's got to go beat us. Right. So
absolutely. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those conversations within our team are night and day different from where they were, you know, prior to even that Pan Am gold medal. We were talking about, you know, what's our goal for this tournament. And we were kind of having a discussion. Some people wanted our goal to be to medal, and other people wanted our goal to win the gold medal. And now there's no question in any single person's mind, our goal is to win the gold in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. You talked about what sacrifices you guys as a team have had to make, and you've had to make a pretty big one yourself. We've had Peter Loubardius on this cast a couple of times, and phenomenal, and he speaks very highly of the softball program in Canada. And he talked about on his cast, you know, these people forget that these athletes are, whether they're moms, whether they're with jobs, they put everything on the back burner to compete for the country. And now this has gone on an extra year. So it's not like it's a, you know, well, we'll take 6 months off and go. You've been doing this now for 18 months. And talk about a little bit about what you've put on the shelf now to chase your dream.
Yeah, for sure. Number one, I think life disruption would be definitely just walking away from my career. And that was a very, very challenging decision to make. But I think one that was best for everybody involved, just thinking that there would have been athletes that I recruited that I wouldn't coach in season until their junior year, just with the delay. And for myself, having the freedom to, you know, fully prepare to the extent that I want to and frankly need to be my best for this team. So that it was definitely a challenging decision and tugged at my heartstrings. I loved my team, and, you know, they actually played their first games yesterday of the 2021 season. So I was following along online and, you know, cheering from my couch. But I think just knowing that they have a coach there full time now, it was the best decision for them, and that I'm able to do what I'm doing now as well. And I think the other space to consider is just relationships. You know, I have a wife that I leave at home far too often, and even more so having had some individual training opportunities with Athletes Unlimited with S2 Breakthrough a couple times, just spending so many more weeks away from her and leaving her at home with the dogs that I chose to get. Just, you know, that can definitely weigh on relationships. And we have a couple of players with families. And so the amount of time that they're going to be spending away from their family for this extended year is definitely something that takes a toll emotionally and mentally, and something that we'll work through as a group once we hit the ground running on March 22nd.
So I know we only had you for an hour today, and we're getting close to that. So I do have two more questions I need to get out. I wanted to ask you about your coach, Chris Herman, number one, and what an influence. And then number two, what are you doing now? Because I know you got something kind of exciting you want to talk about it here, and I think you get the floor here to have that. So whichever one we know go first, go ahead.
Awesome, awesome. So Chris Herman, I mentioned I sent my VHS into her, you know, back in, I guess that was 2004, 2005, prior to getting to Williams College. And just, you know, the impact she had on me as a player was to continue pounding home those, the mentality of work hard, and you know, it's never over, and celebrate the victories, but then get back to work. And the discipline that she had within that program had a big impact on me. I was able to coach alongside her for 2 years before kind of leaving the Williamstown bubble, and continuing to have a relationship with her has been pretty cool, just seeing how much she continues to evolve. You know, she's a completely different coach today than she was when I played for her over a decade ago now. And that's commendable, you know, to continue evolving and growing as a coach when you've been in the game for so long and have those values you think solidified, but then to continue pushing that growth. And allowing me to continue to give back to her program. And she's actually the one who put me in touch with S2 Breakthrough, just was connecting me with one of the owners as two like-minded, great softball people, and then grew this amazing training opportunity for me. So also a very well-connected person who continues to help everybody within her circle. So that's Chris Herman in a nutshell, awesome human being. And then, you know, moving forward, I've joined a company called Area Scouts, and I am their national director of fielding for softball. They initially were, you know, neck deep in baseball, and now they've expanded to a bunch of different sports, with softball being the first additional sport that they've brought on. And we're gaining a ton of traction in the U.S. and are about to jump across the border and dive into Canada. And I'm really excited about that because it's an opportunity for Canadian athletes, you know, softball, baseball, lacrosse, et cetera, football, you know, just athletes across the board to have access to development, to affordable development. You know, the monthly subscription is pretty low. At this point, it's $20 a month, which is amazing. Just thinking about the cost of one lesson in any of the sports I named and how much that takes out of your pocket versus a $20 a month subscription to be a part of this platform. And it's a health-based system where each athlete gets assessed for, you know, through their movements to ensure there are no injuries or complications with regard to general movements. And then there's also an on-field assessment to kind of figure out what your base score is, and then what your assessment score is, and then helps each athlete kind of where they're at and continue to grow based on whatever goal they have.
That's awesome.
Wow. Amazing. So yeah, $20 a month, that's what I pay for Netflix. You know? That seems like a way better investment.
You're getting ripped off.
I am, yeah. Yeah.
I think it's only $13.99.
Oh, well, I was making a...
That's okay, I know.
Maybe Disney Plus and Netflix combined. Oh, whatever. Yeah. Yikes. So... Yeah, we are in an hour, so we want to respect your time. We're going to get into the parting shots. If you want to go first, and let's remind you, it doesn't have to poke at any of us or anyone in general. It could just be something you want to leave
Jenna
with the
Kyra. Or Tosh.
Or if you want to take a little poke at somebody, this is a fun and safe platform to do so. So if you want to go first, you can. If not, we'll let the fellas go, and then you can come. We'll circle back. It's up to you.
Okay, let's circle back.
Ah, all right.
Oh, that's smart. That's her thinking, okay, I'm going to wait to see what these guys
say. Let's see the tone of what they do.
I have a rebuttal. That's what it'll be. Yes, okay.
Yeah. I want to go first, actually, and I'm the least involved with you, but in this hour, I've learned that I have a new hero, for sure. And you have done all the things in the game, and even outside of the game, that anyone would ever want to do. You've played at a pro league, you're on the national team, you have a baseball card, you're on a cereal box. There's nothing you haven't done that anyone would want to do. It's fantastic, and you've been an amazing guest, so thank you for coming on. No shot, nothing but praise for you.
Wow.
I think you're amazing, and wow. I really wish you the best of luck going forward, and I can't wait to follow along.
Thank you. I'm sweating.
Whoa. All right.
I think we're going to have to call this, instead of parting shots, pumping tires.
Hey,
kumbaya. Because you know what? I got a pumping tire to do here, too.
Well, I'm glad I went first.
Yeah. So, Joey, you have a great message for young athletes out there. I mean, you paid tribute to your parents, you know, for signing you up without you even wanting to go. Fred was a big influence. I know you could probably name five more. But, you know, when it all comes down to it, you physically did all the work. You did all that stuff. Yet, you know how important these two, three, four, five people were to your career. So, great message to young athletes out there. And then just, you know, obviously having a connection with you now, it gives us, like Donnie said, it gives us somebody else to cheer for. And, you know, our sport world, our softball world is a small one. So when you come across the Joey Lies and the, you know, the other athletes that we've had on here, it's just like, hey, I got another person to cheer for, right?
And no kidding.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. That's. I just want to really thank you for coming on. It was, you know, obviously, like I say, really special to have somebody that we didn't know before, or I didn't know before, and like I say, make that little connection. So thank you very much. That's all I got.
Over to Tosh.
Oh, thank you.
What is going on with you two right now?
Kumbaya.
Oh, my gosh.
Pressure's on, Tosh.
She's pretty, yeah. Oh, no, I got one more thing. Of all the things that she's done in her career, physically done and been a part of, I think the best is yet to come. Like, whether it's not even, you know, you're going to maybe have a little bit more playing career, and there could be some really amazing things happen in that playing career. But obviously, as a coach, like, just listening to you, like, she's brilliant.
Yeah, for sure.
You're going to end up somewhere that is on the top of some. So I'm going to make sure I keep your name in my, what do we call it?
Rolodex.
Yeah, I don't have that anymore. No. I'm going to keep it in my phone, though, Joey, because I think there's going to be one day we're going to talk again about something else. I'm going to have to beg you for a job or something.
the athletes that get to work with you, Joey, are lucky, for sure. They're getting a great instruction. And I will put it out here now, Joey. If the guys reach out to say, hey, you want to come help in Vegas? We're full. But you can come and you can hang out
anytime.
Well, it's funny because we. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm sorry. It was almost like.
Like.
Yeah.
Like.
Nice.
Two little kids right now. Yeah, you guys are just excited. They're softball smitten right now. Yeah. I think a little bit. Yeah.
Hard
I'm honored.
So I don't. I really don't have a shot either. Except. No, it's not a shot. Again, Joey, thanks for coming on. I'm pumped that it was funny because. Dino mentioned that you guys kind of virtually bumped into each other in that coaching session. So I thought, yeah, that was pretty cool. I think the same thing. The message that you're giving is awesome. I can't wait to see you guys perform on the big stage. You know, I had a brief experience to coach you at that one Canada Cup, and I was very impressed with your approach. And in the best part was with that group, because there was, you know, there was three of you that basically on the senior team that helped out that elite team at that one Canada Cup. And it was awesome to have you. It was like having another coach is what it was. You know, you instantly became a leader, and I know a lot of those young ladies looked up to you anyways because of who you are, but just the work ethic you put in pregame or any practices that we did, and then just your presence on the field, on the bench, whatever, it was amazing. So I was really excited to get you onto this thing. But no, it's nothing but good stuff. Just all the best. Good luck. I think with your new endeavor, it kind of fits into what we're doing as well. So down the road, there could be a little bit of a little partnership going on here because you know, we have a lot of athletes as well in our program. So thank you very much. Again, Holly, we're sorry that you weren't mentioned in the first little bit. Don't send me a text. And all the best going forward.
Amazing. Thank you so much. You know, I've been thinking about this portion of the podcast the entire time we've been on here. And thinking about how tough-skinned I was going to have to be, or you all were going to have to be with each other. And now I feel like I'm going to call you guys when I need my tires pumped. So
there you go.
You're all real softies. I appreciate being on here so much. And just, you know, you keep bringing up Jenna. She and I are yet again going to be roommates as we head down to Fort Myers shortly here. And so I can't wait to poke a lot of fun at her in person. And if you ever speak to her again about pitching, just remember to bring up lat mobility. And that's all.
Lat mobility. We'll do that. Okay, you just brought something. I wish you'd gone first because I feel your pain because I, too, as an athletic second baseman that hits from the left side, was stuck with a pitcher as a roommate, not only national team, club team. And you talk about going through a daily grind, like how dealing with that ego of trying to keep, you know, the prima donna-ness of a pitcher is like, no, Dino, you're really good. It's okay. You'll be fine. Like, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, and
once again, we're at the hour 5 minute mark, and there it is. There's the shot.
Awesome.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. This has been a ton of fun.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks,
awesome,
Joey.
For us. Thanks for coming.
All right. Say goodnight, Donnie.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.